Good evening and welcome. I will call to order the Lake Havasu City Council regular meeting on Tuesday, July 8th, 2025 at 5:30 p.m. We'll have an invocation from Joan DeZero, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance led by Stacy Lee with the Echo Group Band of Brothers Veteran Suicide Prevention.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening to thank you for the blessings you have bestowed on our city. We ask if you would please grant our mayor, city council members, and staff with wisdom and discernment as they make decisions for our city. We also ask you to grant wisdom and safety to our first responders who face dangers every day so we don't have to. We are grateful for them, Lord, and thank you for protecting them. Also, Lord, we ask for you to be with the residents and all the first responders and volunteers who are helping with the heartbreaking situation in Kerrville, Texas. Please bring comfort as only you can in these dark times. We ask these things in your precious name. Amen.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Band of Brothers, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Yes, and if you would like to share a little bit of information about your organization.
So, good evening, city council members. I am so honored to know all of you. I've got to know you a little bit over the last few years. And I will say, I've spoken in front of city councils before, and I really, really do treasure our city of Lake Havasu and its council members. You guys have always, you have always been so very opening and welcoming to the Band of Brothers. As we built our community of veterans with the Band of Brothers, and I wanted to thank all of you for that. We really do appreciate it, the support that we've received from all of you. Brought a few of our brothers and sisters with us tonight. We are a veterans organization. Our main mission is suicide prevention of veterans. We have some teal jerseys. Those are our family members. That's called the Hearts of Armor, Stories from Home. It's our chapter. We have now grown so immensely. We now have the Wheelers Group, which is an off-road group, the Echo Group Wheelers. We have the Echo Group Riders, which is an RC for motorcycles. I'm going to mess this up. I mean, if you guys correct me if I mess something up. We have bowling now in the summer. We noticed our Judge Kalali, as you guys all know, we noticed that with us going dark for the heat, we're not playing softball from June until September. Some of our veterans were kind of backtracking in the progress that they've made, and we needed to make sure that we still got together. So we now have bowling every summer. So that way we're always together, we're always checking on each other, and we're always calling each other out on our mistakes and what we need to fix. The one thing that we request of our city council, despite all the support that we have received, we are still not recognized by our city and by other organizations as a veterans organization. When speeches are made, the Band of Brothers aren't mentioned, and there's groups that are even newer than us that are mentioned, and we would like to be recognized as such because what we do works. I say again, since 2013, we have had zero suicides in our ranks, and because what we do works. And so we thank you guys for that and for that recognition. And that's it. Thank you. Yeah,
thank you. Thank you so much for all the work that you're doing and bringing folks together. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks,
Item 4 on our agenda is the roll call. Ms. Williams, if you please call the roll.
Council members Nancy Campbell.
Here.
Jenny Koch.
Here.
Jim Dolan.
Here.
David Diaz.
Here.
Cameron Moses.
Here.
Vice Mayor Michelle Lynn.
Present.
Mayor Cal Sheehy.
Here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Item 5 is our consent agenda. Would any of the council members like to remove any of the items for separate discussion?
Mayor.
Councilmember Koch.
Motion.
Please.
I move to accept the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
We have a motion from Councilmember Koch. We have a second from Councilmember Moses. We are ready to vote.
Vice Vice Mayor Lynn, your vote, please.
Aye.
Thank you. Motion carries 7-0.
Thank you. Item 6 is correspondence, communications, petitions, announcements, and the City Manager Report. Item 6.1 is to announce the vacancies on Lake Havasu City Boards, Committees, and Commissions. Ms. Williams?
Mayor and City Council, this item is to announce vacancies on Lake Havasu City Boards, Committees, and Commissions. Currently, there is one alternate member vacancy on the Board of Adjustment. Anyone interested can pick up a packet at City Hall, and they are also available on the City's website at www.lhcaz.gov. Thank you.
Thank you. Item 6.2 is our City Manager's Report. Good evening, Mr. Knudsen.
Good evening, Mayor. Good evening, Council. Lots to share this evening. First of all, happy new fiscal year to everybody. July 1st, of course, marks the first day of the new chapter in our fiscal year, complete with a fresh budget and renewed goals. So here's to another year of serving our community with purpose, progress, and a little bit of spreadsheet magic. Congratulations. This is the big deal. Congratulations to Sherman Jackson. Sherman was honored as the Arizona Prosecuting Attorneys Advisory Council Summer Conference for his exceptional commitment to justice and advocacy for crime victims, including arguing before the Arizona Supreme Court earlier this year. We're very, very proud to have such a dedicated and talented prosecutor representing Lake Havasu City. Congratulations, Mr. Jackson. And congratulations to Deputy Chief Jeff Kemp, who was promoted to Deputy Chief of Administration, and that was effective on July 5th, just a couple days ago. With over 35 years of dedicated service, Jeff Kemp brings exceptional leadership and experience to his new role, and Lake Havasu City is very, very proud as we celebrate this well-earned promotion for Jeff Kemp. Congratulations to you, Deputy Chief Kemp. In honoring National Safety Month, the City Safety Division recognized outstanding employees through Safety Star recognition. Staff from multiple departments were nominated and voted on by their peers throughout the organization. Congratulations to all the nominees, and a special shout-out to our very own Darren Spence, who earned the title of the Shiniest Safety Star for his exceptional commitment to safety. And if anybody knows Darren, he is a ray of sunshine and dedicated to doing some really great things for our employees and for our residents. So congratulations, Mr. Spence. And a big congratulations to our Lake Havasu City lifeguards. On June 29th, Max Wolk, Nick Roman, Ariana Drummond, Nicole Wolf, and Aaron Miller competed in the Arizona Lifeguard Challenge against 30 top teams throughout the state of Arizona, and we took third place overall, which is a phenomenal achievement. From high-pressure rescues to lifeguard trivia and teamwork tests, they crushed it. We're so proud of how they represented Lake Havasu City with skill, strength, and heart. Lake Havasu City is inviting the community to participate in the upcoming visioning workshops as part of the 2026 general plan. The workshops will be held this week, take place tomorrow on July 9th from 4:30 to 6:30, and on Thursday, July 10th from 6 to 8 p.m. And both of those workshops will take place in the community room at the Mojave County Library here in Lake Havasu City. These open house style events will feature visioning boards and interactive exercises designed to gather community input on the future direction of Lake Havasu City. Residents are encouraged to stop by at any time. Don't have to be there at the 4:30 start or at the 6 o'clock start. And encouraged to stop by at any time to share their ideas. For those unable to attend in person, a virtual participation option will be available through the City's General Plan update and on our website. A reminder that registration for the after-school program opened on Tuesday, July 1st at 8 a.m. There is room that is left, so it is available for anybody that's still interested. So if you haven't registered your child yet, we encourage you to do so soon. And you can register online at the city's website or at by calling 453-8686. And lastly, as we continue to showcase our beautiful city parks as part of our Get to Know Your Park series, this week is Vice Mayor Michelle Lynn, who's highlighting Jack Hardy Park, a well-loved neighborhood space with plenty of shade and a great playground and room to relax or get active. Let's see what she has to say.
Thank you.
I'm Vice Mayor Michelle Lynn, and today I'm at Jack Hardy Park, located at 2470 Barron Drive. As one of our city's most well-loved neighborhood parks, Jack Hardy Park has been a gathering space for families and friends for decades. Recently, we added new and improved park features, including playground equipment, safety fencing, new shade screen, handrails, crawl tubes, making it even more comfortable to enjoy the outdoors during those sunny Lake Havasu days. This park features 7 picnic ramadas, barbecue grills, bocce ball courts, a large covered playground, and an expansive grass play area. It's a favorite spot for celebrations, outdoor games, and just relaxing with loved ones. Jack Hardy Park was named after a Lake Havasu pioneer, writer, editor, inventor, and businessman. The park was dedicated to him in the early 90s for his contributions to the community. Whether you're here for a picnic, some playtime, or a friendly game of horseshoes, Jack Hardy Park has something for everyone. Come out and enjoy this beautiful park.
That was very great. Thank you, Vice Mayor Lynn, for reintroducing Jack Hardy Park to the community. And with that, Mayor and Council, that concludes my report for this evening.
Thank you, Mr. Knudsen. All right, we'll move on to item 7, which is our public hearings. During each of our public hearings, there will be an opportunity for citizens to engage on that topic. When we open the public hearing, we do encourage you to come to the podium, state your name for the record, and then just address the council directly on those remarks. There will be some time at the end of the meeting for the call to the public. That'll be where citizens have the opportunity to address the city council on anything within the jurisdiction of Lake Havasu. I'll go over those guidelines when we get to that portion of the meeting. So we'll start with item 7.1, which is resolution number 25-3848, approving a memorandum of understanding with Lake Havasu Unified School District number 1 for the CTE EMS program for 2025 through 2027. Chief Palafis.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor, Council Members. Before you is a memorandum of understanding with the Lake Havasu High School and Unified School District. It's an expansion of our career technical education program. We currently have our fire program, and now we're adding a emergency medical service program to the high school to provide further career pathways for our youth in fire service, but also in the healthcare providing setting. We're going to be offering emergency medical response and an EMTB curriculum that is based on the national registering curriculum that an individual, if they successfully pass both programs, they'll have an emergency medical response certification and an EMTB certification, which will allow them to get introduced to emergency medical services. It's going to assist us with some of our recruitment efforts, giving them the ability to be employable within our city, whether it's with River Medical, with the hospital, with assisted living centers, or ultimately with the fire department. But it provides them the education that they need at a younger level. We're offering this to juniors and seniors during this academic year, which is starting July 31st. We've had such a great partnership with the high school. Marsha Becker, coordinator of the CTE program, has really embraced the partnership that we've had together with the city and the high school to really focus on the career path for individuals that want to serve the community. And we want to keep them here. So what not better way of offering them the education that they need to get employed? So this is a two-year agreement. There is offsetting costs that the high school is providing us per semester to have that partnership and buy-in with the program. I have to say thank you to my team and to the high school for making this happen. This has always been a vision of myself to get into the schools and really focus on our next generation of individuals, of public servants to serve us. So I'm really excited about this. I have Marsha here if you have any questions. It was approved a couple months ago from the school district, happy fiscal year July 1st of bringing this, and we're going to hit the ground running July 31st. The program is already set. I'm not sure if I mentioned, but we have 11 individuals that are currently going to be enrolled in this program on the first day of school on July 31st. So we're really excited about this expansion, and if you don't mind, if Marsha, if you want to.
Mr. Mayor, council members, thank you for having me here tonight. The fire service program that you guys approved a few years ago has just been such a success. a success for our students. It's given them, they found their passion, a lot of them. I'm really excited about the quality of individuals that the FIRE team, Gina, that Pete really has put the right people in place to nurture the students and to get them excited about this service work. So I have the same hopes that EMS will do the same, make them employable, you know, get them out into our community, whether they stay with the fire service or whether they go into our nursing homes. You know, it's just, it's good for our community. It's good to know that we will have qualified individuals that will take care of us as we grow older here in Lake Havasu City. So I really appreciate your support and this partnership that we have, and looking forward to just continuing its growth. So, does anybody have any questions that they...
Yeah, do any members of the council have any questions for Chief Plofkis or Mrs. Becker? Yeah, thank you so much for the program. It's really creating amazing opportunities for students across all CTE, and especially in this area of emergency medical services. Thank you. All right, this is a public hearing. Would anyone like to address the City Council on this item? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and close the public hearing. Bring it back to council for any discussion or possible motion.
Mayor?
Councilmember Koch?
Motion.
Please.
Move to adopt resolution number 25-3848, approving the memorandum of understanding with the Lake Havasu Unified School District number 1 for the CTE EMS program for 2025 through 2027, and authorize the city manager to execute the agreement on behalf of the city.
Second.
We have a motion from Councilmember Koch. We have a second from Councilmember Moses. Is there any additional discussion? Seeing none, we're ready to vote. Vice Mayor Lynn?
Aye.
Thank you.
Motion carries 7-0.
Thank you. All right, item 7.2 is resolution number 25-3856, levying a 0.6718 upon the assessed valuation of the property within Lake Havasu City, subject to taxation upon each $100 evaluation. Ms. Olson.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, everyone. This is the final step in the FY26 budget, the new fiscal year that we're celebrating now. So quickly, this is the adoption of the property tax levy. The first one is for the general property tax for Lake Havasu City. And the tax rate, as mentioned in the budget process, will remain the same. The tax levy will increase because the assessed valuation is increasing across all of the properties. And therefore, the calculation gets us to an increase in revenues. So the increase is a little over $430,000, $313,000 for the property tax levy increase, in the new construction accounts for about $116,000. And with that, I'll answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Olson. Are there any questions from members of council for Ms. Olson? All right, this is a public hearing. Would anyone like to address the City Council on this item? Seeing none, we'll close the public hearing. Bring it back to council for any comments or possible motion.
Here.
Yeah, Con.
I'd like Councilmember Diaz to make a motion, please.
Yeah, Councilmember Diaz.
Appreciate your courtesy, Mr. I move to adopt resolution number 25-3856, adopting the Lake Havasu City property tax levy rate at 0.06718 per 100 assessed value to fiscal year 2025-26.
Second.
We have a motion from Councilmember Diaz, a second from Councilmember Dolan. Is there any additional discussion? Seeing none, we're ready to vote. Vice Mayor Lynn?
Aye.
Thank you.
Motion carries 7-0.
Thank you. Item 7.3 is resolution number 25-3857, adopting the property tax levy and certifying the annual financial requirements of Lake Havasu City Improvement District number 2, the London Bridge Plaza, for fiscal year 25-26. Ms. Olson.
Thank you. The city does have one improvement district for the London Bridge Plaza. This It district includes the maintenance and operation of the area for the parking lot, electricity, for the lights, water service, and landscaping for that area. The property tax levy, we're proposing that that remain the same, or that the rate remain the same, and therefore the slight increase in assessed valuation shows that there would be a slight increase in the revenue that we are receiving for the district or for the improvement district number two. And with that, I'll answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Olson. Are there any questions from members of the council for Ms. Olson on this item? This is a public hearing. Would anyone like to address the city council on this item? Seeing none, we'll close the public hearing, bring it back to council for discussion or possible motion.
Mr. Mayor.
Councilmember Dolan.
This time I think Mrs. Campbell can do one if she wants to. No? Okay. I'll make a motion then. I move to adopt resolution number 25-3857, adopting the Lake Havasu City Improvement District number 2, London Bridge Plaza, property tax levy rate at 0.7370 per $100 assessed value for fiscal year 2025-2026.
I will second that for you, though.
We have a motion from Councilmember Dolan, and we have a second from Councilmember Campbell. Is there any additional discussion? Seeing none, we're ready to vote. Vice Mayor Lynn?
Aye.
Thank you.
Motion carries 7-0.
Thank you.
Thank you. Item 7.4 is resolution number 25-3855, approving a minor general plan amendment revising the future land use map designation for 2441, 2443, 2445, 2447, and 2449 Anita Avenue, Track 2242, Block 1, Lots 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, approximately 7/10 of an acre, from low-density residential to high-density residential. Mr. Kearns.
Thank you, Mayor, Council. The subject property is 0.7 acres and is undeveloped. It is located on Anita Avenue between Avalon Avenue and Pebble Drive. The abutting property to the east is zoned limited commercial C1 district and developed with a commercial building. The properties to the south and north across the street and alley are zoned residential two-family district and are developed with residential homes. The properties to the west across Avalon Avenue are zoned residential single-family R1 district. The general plan future land use map designates the property as low-density residential. The low-density residential future land use designation allows single-family housing. The applicant's letter of intent asks to amend the city's general plan future land use map for the subject property for low-density residential to high-density residential to facilitate development of a multifamily project that currently looks like this layout in the existing limited commercial. The general plan amendment is the first step in this process. A rezone application for the property immediately follows the general plan amendment request. The proposed amendment is in conformance with many goals and policies of the city's general plan, and the Planning Commission voted 7-0 to recommend approval at their June 4th meeting. This concludes my presentation. I'm available for any questions, and the applicant's representative is also available.
Thank you, Mr. Kearns. Would you like to make a presentation as well?
No, I'm just here to answer any questions. I represent William Lundy. He's our customer.
Perfect. And then your name for the record?
My name is Tammy Ross, and I'm with Palmieri Construction.
Excellent. Thank you, Ms. Ross. All right. Are there any questions for members of the council? Yeah, Councilmember Campbell?
Mayor, can you go back a slide where it shows the overhead? I think when there it is. And the width of that driveway... there's a commercial building there, and the width of that driveway is 26 feet. And I have a lot of concern for that because the other side, correct me if I'm wrong, is that multifamily high density as well, right up to it? So we're sandwiching that commercial building again with residential, is that correct?
So the far east lot, the big lot, is R1. That was rezoned to R1 a few years ago. The piece just directly to the east of the commercial building is still C1.
Yeah, Mr. Kearns, if you go one more slide, it'll, yes,
okay.
Councilmember Campbell, you can see that large parcel is the R1. Then there's the commercial building you're referring to.
Right.
And then the subject property there.
So it looks like there's another little piece of commercial right on the other side. I remember that getting rezoned. Didn't an applicant come in and want the other side? They were talking about putting multiple homes there? Or just one big home?
We're talking about the eastern portion over here?
Yes.
So that is a rezone to R1, and they have plans in for a single-family home.
Just one single-family home?
Correct.
And then there's still a little strip of commercial next to the commercial building, correct?
Yes.
Is that still available, or...?
It's still zoned commercial. It's undeveloped.
Undeveloped. Okay. And then what I noticed, okay, go back the other direction that you were going here. Oh, the actual image of the homes that they want to do, the site plan. This one. Now, as I look at it, I see that there is the lot existing building next to it, which is on the opposite side of Avalon. And I see that there's a whole bunch of little parking lots there and covered parking lots. Do they have the intention of driving, maybe this question's to you, do they have the intention of driving in there and using Frontier Concrete's driveway to access this?
No, it would be their own driveway.
On the other side?
On the other side, I don't think there is any, I don't think it's gonna be walled off, I believe.
Because I really think that this needs to stay commercial, me personally. I love the little commercial nodes. We're now noticing it over by Jamaica and Shimawavy. They built a little food truck thing there, and the neighborhood really enjoys that. And I'm just concerned about squeezing one skinny little commercial building in between those lots. It just seems out of sync to me. It was never meant to be that way. Because if you go back, you can see where it was supposed to be parking in common all to the front end of that street so that it would be consistent. And most of those commercials were zero setbacks because they were supposed to be like Sweetwater, all lined up together on that corner. And the old saying is, well, nobody ever built there. Well, nobody built on the lot that I just built too. So eventually everything gets built out. So at this point, it's a no for me because I'm still trying to save some commercial nodes within our community, and I just don't like one little building sliver shove. Because when you have a 26-foot wide driveway, and he doesn't own the building, the lot next door to it, they could build something there, maybe, maybe not. But the problem is, if you only have 26 feet wide, there's no parking. You have maybe the 3 or 4 parking spots right up by the front, you know, window. And then all that parking lot, that driveway, that's all it is now. It's just an oversized driveway because there is no way you can access horizontal parking or angled parking and then be able to back in and back out of that. So I think that gentleman was there a long time ago with the hope that that was all going to be built out. Yes, I did talk to the renter. I did not talk to the owner of the building, but just if it was my building, I would hope that the city would protect that corner for me and do what they had promised. So that's my answer. It was a big decision. I thought about it all week, but at the end of the day, that's how I feel. Thank you.
I did have the neighbors across the street from this project come to us, and they did say that they were really happy seeing that residential was going in there and not another commercial, because they're concerned of, you know, trash can come in at 3 o'clock in the morning and dump because it's zoned or it's a commercial building. You know, the traffic issues, or a bar could go in there and they'd be open till 2 o'clock in the morning. They don't want to live across the street from that. So that was one of their...
Yeah, well, they bought into a commercial node. You know, they bought with that knowing that was across the street. How big are the... What's the square foot of these little units that we're building, that you're building, or who, somebody's building?
Mm-hmm. Let me see. I don't remember what he said.
Are we back to the tiny home concept? About...
Yeah, they're 2 bedrooms.
About... What, under 1,000 square feet?
I believe so.
Okay. I'm going to try to continue to protect the little bit of commercial zones that we have left. But thank you, and I hope you understand.
Yeah. Mayor.
Yeah, Councilmember Koch.
I just have a question, and this is in regards to Councilman Campbell's comment. So what you're suggesting is that this 26-foot wide driveway that goes into the building, that the lots on either side that they don't own should be kept for them to be able to use for parking. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not. Because if you go back to the regular, go back a couple screens where you could actually see the actual land map. Okay, there. If you notice those dots, do you see the black dots that are going across that square box? Do you see that square box, that red square box? Those dots right there pretty much show where they were supposed to have parking in common, kind of like what you see at Sweetwater.
So I get it, but if you don't own the lots next to you, regardless if it's, I'm just trying to get your point of view. So you don't own the lots, but yet we want to keep the lots the way they are to ensure that the property that you built on has the capability of parking, even though you didn't buy the lots next to it to ensure you had the parking or the ability to have the parking. Is that...
Because
I'm just asking. I'm not saying right, wrong, or indifferent. I'm trying to get an idea of what you were saying there. I was trying to envision it. So
it's just like McCulloch. Those are all individual parcels. They all have zero setbacks, including everybody on Sweetwater. That's just the way it was back in the day. You bought it, the parcel, and then the city protected your parking in common. Your footprint was behind it, which you actually built on, and the parking was supposed to be held for that. Nowhere could I have built in that parking lot area footprint. So that's where I'm at, and that's what I'm trying to protect the integrity of that corner from generations ago. But thank you.
Are there any other questions or comments from members of council? All right, this is a public hearing. Would anyone like to address the city council on this item?
Mayor, Council, I do have a question in regards to the whole plan, since I don't understand blueprints and everything like that, but I was just wondering if there's going to be handicap accessibility for anybody that is going there. Is there going to be the sidewalk? Is it going to be thick, hard for somebody to step on, or will it be level with the parking lot? Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, so it'll meet all ADA requirements that are required for the building.
I'm sorry?
It's going to meet all of the American with Disabilities Act requirements.
Yes, and again, the Americans Disability Act is the minimum requirement, there's no maximum requirement for the city. The city can do more than the minimum if it wants to. Thanks.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to address the city council on this item? All right, we'll go ahead and close the public hearing, bring it back to council. Councilmember Diaz?
Was there a public hearings or meetings to the neighborhood? And if there was, how many people showed up?
Yes, there was actually, the owner actually did one by himself, and then we did one a couple months ago. And I believe two people or two families came by.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, so what we have in front of us is an item that was heard before our Planning and Zoning Commission. It's coming with a 7-0 recommendation for the minor general plan amendment, revising the future land use map designation. They did meet the requirements, and it's my recollection that there was not any neighborhood comments from the public hearing that was held during that Planning and Zoning Commission meeting. Are there any questions or comments from members of the council before we consider a motion?
Mayor?
Councilmember Dolan?
Make a motion?
Please.
I move to adopt resolution number 25-3855, approving a minor general plan amendment revising the future land use map designations for 2441, 2443, 2447, and 2449, Anita Avenue, Track 2242, Lock 1, Lots 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, from low-density residential to high-density residential.
Second.
We have a motion from Councilmember Dolan. We have a second from Councilmember Koch. Is there any additional discussion before we vote? Seeing none, we're ready to vote. Vice Mayor Lynn?
Aye.
Thank you.
Motion carries 6-1.
Thank you. And then we'll move on to the companion item that Mr. Kearns mentioned earlier, which is item 7.5, ordinance number 25-1364, approving the rezone of 2441, 2443, 2445, 2447, and 2449 Anita Avenue, Track 2242, Block 1, Lots 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, approximately 7/10 of an acre, from limited commercial C1 district to residential limited family R3 district. Mr. Kearns.
Thank you, Mayor. This is the same property from the previous item, but in regard to the zone change. The subject property measures 0.7 acres and is currently vacant. The abutting property to the east is zoned limited commercial C1 district and developed with commercial building with single-family residential to the east of it. The properties to the south and north across the street and alley are zoned residential 2-family, R2 district, and are developed with residential homes. The properties to the west across the street are zoned residential single-family R1 district and developed with residential homes. The applicant's letter of intent suggests they intend to combine the 5 lots into one property to build a multifamily project that currently looks like this, with the central courtyard containing the parking and other features, for a total of 10 units. This rezone request complies with the required findings of the development code, and the Planning Commission voted 7-0 to recommend approval at their June 4th meeting. I'll be happy to answer any further questions.
Thank you, Mr. Kearns. Are there any questions for members of the council for Mr. Kearns or the applicant's representative, Mrs. Ross? All right, this is a public hearing. Would anyone like to address the City Council on this item? Seeing none, we'll close the public hearing, bring it back to council for discussion or possible motion. Yeah, Councilmember Diaz.
Just a quick question. Trevor, what's the parking situation again for a one-bedroom and a two-bedroom? Between the two?
So one bedroom would require space, 1.5 spaces, one covered, the half space could be uncovered. The two bedroom would require 2 spaces, 1 space covered, 1 space uncovered.
Okay, and is there any garages in these, or are these all carports?
So the plan that they have here is covered parking. However, it's not a planned development, so this could change as long as they're built within the R3 standards.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any other questions or comments from members of the council?
Mayor?
Yeah, Councilmember Dolan?
Motion?
Please.
I move to adopt ordinance number 25-1364, approving the rezone of tract 2242, block 1, lots 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, from limited commercial district to residential limited multifamily district.
Second.
We have a motion from Councilmember Dolan, a second from Councilmember Moses. Is there any additional discussion? Seeing none, we're ready to vote. Vice Mayor Lynn?
Aye.
Thank you.
Motion carries 6-1.
Thank you. All right, we'll move on to item 7.6. Ratification of notice to proceed and subscription services addendum with Motorola Solutions, Inc. and approval of the purchase of APX Next handheld radio replacements and subscription services. Chief Sterling.
Good evening, Mayor, City Council members. Tonight I'm here asking you to consider the ratification of a notice to proceed and subscription services addendum, as well as the approval of the purchase of 125 Motorola APX Next handheld radios and 5 years of subscription services from Motorola Solutions utilizing Arizona State contract. So the background, our current handheld radios were purchased in 2015, and we are nearing the end of the useful life due to these devices no longer being supported and repairs becoming more and more difficult, if not impossible, due to the unavailability of used parts. The purchase of the APX Next model radios offer the latest in technological features. I like to highlight these because they're very important. They incorporate the use of LTE signals, providing a much larger range of service than just utilizing radio tower signals. In other words, essentially, anywhere I have cell service, I could talk to somebody on these radios, even if it was across the world. We tested this radio in specific locations where our current radio signal was weak or sporadic, and we found that adding this LTE signal capability addressed these issues. Another cool feature is GPS location, allowing dispatchers and other officers in the field the ability to see another officer's location when they're out of their vehicles. This is a very important and increased in officer safety. Another ability is to view active calls for service directly on the radio screen, the portable radio screen, versus having to rely solely on the MDTs in the vehicles. This allows, especially beneficial for our supervisors, our watch commanders, to be able to stay aware of active calls and pending calls for service when they're not in their vehicles. So getting into the purchase aspect of it, the purchase of replacement handheld radios and the first year of subscription services was approved in the 25-26 fiscal year budget for the amount of $1,480,000. So thank you for passing that budget. And by issuing a notice to proceed by June 27th, the city was able to lock in a quoted pricing prior to the estimated 7% estimated price increase that would have occurred July 1st. So that's why we needed that ratification piece. This purchase will be made utilizing the Arizona State contract, and the funding for the first year of this agreement is allocated in the police department's budget in the amount of $1,274,453.64 plus taxes. An appropriation for subscription services for years 2 through 5 will be included in subsequent budget requests for each fiscal year. With that, I'll entertain any questions you have.
Thank you, Chief. Are there questions from members of the council for Chief? Yeah, Councilmember Diaz.
What do you think the annual subscription is going to be?
Right around $60,000, $61,000.
All right, thank you.
Any additional questions from members of council? All right, this is a public hearing. Would anyone like to address City Council on this item? Seeing none, we'll close the public hearing, bring it back to council. Chief, thank you for bringing this forward. Just the benefits here for officer safety and the ability for connectivity for our officers.
Connectivity is very huge, yes. So
important.
Very important.
So very good. All right, Councilmember Diaz, like to make a motion?
Yes.
All right.
I move to ratify the execution of a notice to proceed and subscription services addendum and approve the purchase of APX Next handheld radio replacements and subscription services with Motorola Solutions, Inc. in an amount not to exceed the budgeted amount of $1,480,000.
Second.
We have a motion from Councilmember Diaz, a second from Councilmember Campbell. Is there any additional discussion? Seeing none, we're ready to vote. Vice Mayor Lynn?
Aye.
Thank you.
Motion carries 7-0.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next item is 7.7, purchases exceeding the expenditure threshold for 2 LifePak 15 replacement units and 1 PowerPro 2 powered ambulance cot with associated equipment from Stryker Sales. Chief Palafis.
Honorable Mayor, Council Members, before you is budgeted items in the fiscal 25-26 Fire Department budget. Due to hitting the threshold, I'm before you to ask for your approval to continue with this purchase of 2 LifePak 15 monitors. This is part of our annual replacement program that I started roughly about 5 years ago. Instead of purchasing all equipment at one time, what we have done is purchased them in small amounts and allowing the ones that need to go out of service that reach their lifespan around 7-8 years, we're on a constant rotation. So we're utilizing Sourcewell as the contract for through Stryker Sales LLC to make this purchase for both items. The LifePak monitors are used on a daily basis. They help our paramedics and EMTs with blood pressures, cardiac monitoring devices, defibrillators, cardioversion. So this is a life-saving tool that is used on all of our apparatus that we constantly use for our citizens. So as part of this replacement program, we're moving up to a newer version, and it's just part of our annual replacement. For the COT, since we have ambulance transport services, we purchased our older ambulances in roughly about 2020, 2021, and as part of the used purchase, one of our COTs has reached its service life. It's no longer parts, so what we're doing is upgrading that that was allocated in the budget. The power COT allows our paramedics and EMTs to basically reduce back injuries. It helps load the patient into the ambulance and provides protection not only for our members but for the patients that we transport. So that group purchase through Stryker Sales is in the amount of $108,449.27, and I just request your approval for those items. Appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you, Chief. Are there questions from members of the council or the Chief on these items? This is a public hearing. Would anyone like to address the City Council on this item?
Good afternoon. My name is Emiliano Torres. I'm a resident. Just a question that kind of pertains to some of the two of the issues before with the new housing, and now we have this cot going in because of what I've noticed as far as these smaller houses. Will the cot fit through these doorways in these new homes that we're putting in, that where the doors are one right after each other with no visible space? I hope they can meet code and, you know, provide safety for us. Thank you.
Absolutely. Yes, everything's going to meet code, but I'll let Chief Palafis go over.
Mayor, yes, everything is going to meet code. And these cots actually break down, so we're allowed to get in tight spots. We also have provisions for stairs. Not saying we have many here, but we also have stair chairs that we can properly take care of the patient and load them correctly in the safe manner.
Yeah, thank you, Chief. Yep. Would anyone else like to address the City Council on this item? Seeing none, we'll close the public hearing, bring it back to council for any discussion or possible motion.
Mayor?
Yeah, Councilmember Koch?
Motion?
Please.
I move to approve the purchase of two LifePak 15 V4 unit and one Power Pro powered ambulance. Hold on, mine's not all on one page. Cot with associated equipment from Stryker Cells LLC in the amount of $108,449.27.
Second.
We have a motion from Councilmember Koch, second from Councilmember Dolan. Is there any additional discussion? I would just like to draw a little bit of attention to there are some trading credits that we're going to be getting.
Yes, yes, Mayor.
It'll be offsetting some of the cost from the units that will be retiring. So thank you for working through that as well, Chief. Any additional comments? All right, we're ready to vote. Vice Mayor Lynn?
Aye.
Thank you.
Motion carries 7-0.
Thank you, Chief. Item 7.8 is amendment number 1 to engineering professional services agreement for the North Havasu additional tank and distribution line project with Tank Industry Consultants, Inc. Good evening, Mr. Hart.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor and City Council. It's great to be before you this evening. I wanted to bring before you the amendment number 1 to an existing professional service contract with TIC, and just to be transparent and upfront, the reason why I'm bringing you an amendment is because there were some things that were left out of the original design, the oversight on, say, my part. So it became apparent as we got into the design that these needed to be added in. So just as a reminder, the North Havasu Reservoir tank site is up by our beautiful airport on the south end of that, of the airport, the north side of the city. It is there surrounded by a fence and has the beautiful flashing lights on it to keep planes away from it. This tank that we're proposing and have a design contract with is a 750,000 water tank that will help us, allow us to perform maintenance on the current 2 million gallon tank, which we've been unable to do in the fashion that we would like. We have sent the dive teams in there to do some scrubbing and such, but we need to be able to shut it down and provide maintenance, and that's what this tank's going to allow for. So the purpose of the amendment number 1 is we're going to add some additional piping plans that became apparent, footing details, tank sections that we typically are used to seeing, tanks, details for the tank appurtenances. I'm saying that wrong. I apologize. Adds cathodic protection to the tank, which is a series of rods that hang off of the tank ceiling on the inner that the corrosion will attack as opposed to the tank itself, very valuable. And then some electrical and instrumental design. The anticipated design completion would be in November of 2025, and the amendment to number 1 contract costs $64,185 is what we're looking for. And I can answer any questions you might have.
Mr. Hart, are there any questions from members of the council for Mr. Hart? All right, this is a public hearing. Would anyone like to address the City Council on this item? Seeing none, we'll close the public hearing, bring it to council for any discussion or possible motion.
Mayor?
Yeah, Councilmember Campbell? Motion. Please.
I move to approve amendment number 1 to the engineering professional service agreement with Tank Industry Consultants, Inc. in the amount of $64,185 and authorize the city manager to execute the amendment.
Second.
We have a motion from Councilmember Campbell, a second from Councilmember Diaz. Is there any additional discussion? Seeing none, we're ready to vote. Vice Mayor Lynn?
Aye.
Thank you.
Motion carries 7-0.
Thank you. Item 7.9 is bid for the Kiowa Drain Number 3 Stabilization Project to Groundwater Partners, Inc. Good evening, Mr. Clark.
Oh, this is the Kiowa Drain 3 Stabilization Recommendation for Award. Some background in engineering on this project. On April 9th, 2024, the City Council authorized funding for professional design services for Kiowa Drain Number 3. The project is located to the west of Highway 95 and is from the limits of Cactus Wren Drive to Kiowa Ave. The project is ranked 8th in the top 10 priority washes and is the last project to be constructed within the top 10. Engineering design features include the following: construction of a stable channel profile, reducing stormwater velocity, decreasing scour and erosion, a trapezoidal channel with armoring and riprap and geode fabric, energy dissipation features installed at drop structures, concrete access ramps for public works maintenance personnel. Some site photos you can see to the left. In photo number one, we have vertical banks with highly erosive hydraulic conditions due to high channel velocities. I believe they're up to 20 feet per second. In photo two, you can see the concrete drop structure showing about 4 feet of scour where we're going to be putting in energy dissipation features, which is riprap, for about 30 feet. Some drainage design details provided by Kimley Horn. We have a trapezoidal channel section with 15-inch riprap, 2 feet thick, with 2-to-1 side slopes on geofabric, with compactive native material on the bottom of the channel for wash access. In detail number two, you could see a reinforced concrete drop structure with energy dissipation baffle blocks. We had 6 competitive bids were received on Kiowa Drain Number 3 Stabilization. Groundwater Partners, Inc. is the apparent low bidder. The engineer's cost estimate was base bid plus force account was $1,531,040. The low bid, base bid plus force account was $1,298,962. The CIP budget was $1.6 million out of flood control funding. The award recommendation, the base bid plus force account for the Kiowa Drain 3 Stabilization Project be awarded to contract 500599 to Groundwater Partners, Inc. in the amount of $1.298,962.
Thank you, Mr. Clark. Are there any questions from members of the council for Mr. Clark? Yeah, Councilmember Diaz?
So, question I have, and it comes up a lot from when I'm talking to different residents, is when these low bids come in, the low bidder is not cutting corners, and we're getting the quality of work that we feel is up to our standards.
Yeah, I reviewed the bids. They're within 15% of the engineer's estimate, which is about the lowest you could possibly be. We had 2 bids that were under $1.5 million, and they were in the lowest, the drop structure is where they won the bid. And they were within the acceptable ranges in Mojave County for the bids. And they cut mobilization again because they're trying to get in on the work over here. So I think that's how they got the bid.
Okay. The actual, work that needs to be done as far as infrastructure and all this stuff, we feel comfortable. That's all going to be.
Yeah, most of this is dirt work, so it's using large machinery and less labor forces to construct the wash improvements.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any other questions or comments from members of the council before we open the public hearing? All right, this is a public hearing. Would anyone like to address the city council on this item? Seeing none. Close the public hearing, bring it back to council for any discussion or possible motion. Right, Councilmember Diaz?
I move to award the bid for Kiowa
drain number three, a stabilization project to Groundwater Partners, Inc., in the amount of $1,298,962.
Second. We have a motion from Councilmember Diaz and a second from Councilmember Dolan. Is there any additional discussion? All right, we're ready to vote. Vice Mayor Lynn?
Aye.
Thank you.
Motion carries 7-0.
Thank you. Our next item is item 7.10, the bid for the Port Drive and Queens Bay Lift Station Upgrade Project to Schofield Civil Construction. Good evening, Mr. Porter.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor and City Council. So tonight I'm bringing forward the construction award recommendation for Port Drive and Queens Bay Lift Station Upgrade Project. This picture here just shows kind of a picture of existing conditions of what a wet well looks like at one of these lift stations. And if you see, the coatings are just dilapidated, falling off, and needing to be restored, replaced. So the purpose, Lake Havasu City has over 70 wastewater lift stations in our city. The lift water station upgrade program has prioritized these two lift stations for the upgrade and the restorations to be completed in this fiscal year. The project will restore the reliability and the operation of the two lift stations in our wastewater system. The upgrades will provide protection for both residents, visitors of Lake Havasu, and to help protect our potable water supply. Project schedule would take 60 days. We would anticipate completion or starting in September with a anticipated completion of November of 25. Funds in the amount of $533,000 are allocated and available in this fiscal year. We received two qualifying bids. One was from Schofield Civil Construction in the amount of $533,600. The second was Technology Construction for $617,500. I recommend construction contract be awarded to Schofield Construction in the amount of the $533,600. Are there any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Porter. Are there questions, members of the council, for Mr. Porter? All right, this is a public hearing. Would anyone like to address the City Council on this item? Seeing none, we'll close the public hearing, bring it back to council for any discussion or possible motion.
Mayor.
Councilmember Dolan.
Motion.
Please.
Move to award the bid for the Port Drive and Queens Bay Lift Station Upgrades Project to Schofield Civil Construction, LLC, in the amount of $533,600.
Second.
We have a motion from Councilmember Dolan. We have a second from Councilmember Campbell. Is there any additional discussion? Seeing none, we're ready to vote. Vice Mayor Lynn?
Aye.
Thank you.
Motion carries 7-0.
Thank you. And our final public hearing of the evening is item 7.11, bid for the Mulberry Treatment Plant Roof Replacement Project to TR Ore, Inc. Mr. Porter.
Okay, so the second project I'm bringing forward tonight is the MTP Roof Replacement Project. And we did get good bids on this one. We got quite a bit of local activity. This is the couple of pictures of the Mulberry Treatment Plant. This is the Headworks building, and these are the existing conditions. So you can see, even though they've maintained the roof over many years and, you know, done cleaning and restorations, it's still, you know, past its serviceable life. And from some previous leaks, there's roof drains that are failing and causing some minor structural issues with drywall damage and some piping that needs to be replaced. So the Mulberry Treatment Headworks building is aged beyond its useful life. The existing drains and roof leaders have presented ongoing issues, causing additional damage to the building. The project will address these issues with the installation of a new TPO roof, roof drain replacement, insulation replacement, drywall repairs, and then painting. The project schedule takes 2 months. The anticipated start would be August of 2025, with completion in hopefully early October of 2025. Construction budget, we figured $300,000. We had 5 qualifying bids. The first bid, or low apparent bidder, is TR Ore at $152,000, with bids, 3 bids under $200,000 and then a couple considerably higher. I recommend construction contract be awarded to TR Ore in the amount of $152,000. Any questions on this one?
Thank you, Mr. Porter. Are there any questions for Mr. Porter on this item? All right, this is a public hearing. Would anyone like to address the City Council on this item? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and close the public hearing, bring it back to Council for discussion or possible motion.
Mayor?
Councilmember Koch?
Motion?
Please.
I move to award the bid for the MTP roof replacement project to TR Ore Inc. in the amount of $152,000.
Second.
We have a motion from Councilmember Koch. We have a second from Councilmember Moses. Is there any additional discussion? Seeing none, we're ready to vote. Vice Mayor Lynn?
Aye.
Thank you.
Motion carries 7-0.
Thank you. Item 8 is the call to the public. This is where citizens have the opportunity to address the City Council on items within the jurisdiction of Lake Havasu City. Because the items are not agendized, we can listen intently, but we can't have a two-way conversation during this time. You don't have to sign up, and we didn't have anyone sign up, but that doesn't mean you can't come up and share your thoughts. There will be a timer on the screens throughout the room indicating the time, and we just ask that you address your comments directly to the council. With that being said, anyone that would like to address the council during call to public, please make way to the podium and state your name for the record.
My name is Emiliano Torres. I'm a resident. Just a question on the park, the commons. I noticed there's some few of the shades have been put up, but there's some posts and the shades are not finished. I wonder if we're ever going to see that project completed. Of concern also is when it was being bid, those shades were rather expensive. And I'm just wondering if that's the reason they haven't been completed. Is the funding run out? Are we waiting for the contractor to complete? And if that contract is finished, I would wish we could use a local contractor to build those shades instead of having to outsource them to someone who is, as far as I could see when this thing was being bid, was really expensive for those things. I mean, I understand they have nice little angles that provide shade when the sun is at its peak, but, you know, that's no big deal. Anybody with, you know, high school physics can figure that one out. So if we could see that project finished and possibly with local contractors. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I don't know if tall people work. Never mind. Hi, Mayor, City Council, Bonnie Toy. The shade structures at the Main Street Commons, I don't know if you realize it, but the benches are on the opposite side of where the shade goes. The benches are never in the shade. I sat there during Desert Storm, and I was like, wait, where'd the shade go? The sunset's really weird, apparently, in Havasu, because it doesn't shade where needed on the benches that are sitting there provided at the park. I recently attended a meeting here. Was it here? Yes. No, it was over at the police station, the chambers, not the the old chambers. And that meeting was for the Arizona Developmental Disabilities Planning Council. Apparently, they have meetings. The government has a lot of meetings that are just like general plan meetings and updates. That meeting was just like that. It was informational. I thought it was going to be in regards to how can we help improve disability access around the city or things like that. There were people in there that had a lot of discussions about medical care and besides the disability issues and developmental disability issues. But one of the things that I heard from them that I felt the need to come up and speak about is there were many parents and family members who were concerned about not just children, but adults with developmental disabilities who have to deal with the police and their fear, utter fear of dealing with the police and how they wish the police were trained differently in handling people who have mental health issues and people who have developmental disabilities. So they said those reports that were acquired and talked about during that meeting would be going down to the state, and then eventually it would be accessible to whoever wanted them, whenever you wanted them, like sometime August or September. But you know, I was thinking I'd just inform you about those concerns that people have in Lake Havasu now, because people are matter, and people with disabilities that have to deal and face and talk to the police officers, that they get scared and terrified and don't know how to react, kind of need that maybe extra care. Thank you.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to?
Hello, I'm Nicholas Black. I was concerned my nephew was talking about getting the e-bikes, and I Googled up, there were some bikes that were, like, illegal. I don't know if you guys are concerned. Are they, like, some with are, like, without paddles or not supposed to ride around? I don't know anything about them, so I don't know.
Yeah, thanks for sharing. Would anyone else like to address the city council during call to the public? Seeing none, we'll close the call to the public and move on to item 9, which is our current events. Are there any council committee reports? All right, item 10, our future meetings. Our next meeting will be on Tuesday, July 22nd, 2025. We'll have an executive session at 4:30, followed by our regular meeting at 5:30. Item 11, are there any future discussion items? Item 12, we are adjourned. Thanks for being here. Be kind. We'll see you next time.